昨天在第一章的末尾，我们看到阿尔朱呢对 Krishna 说，他要把他的 Gandiva 的弓箭放下。
So this was quite a shocking statement for Arjuna to make.
对于 Arjuna 而言，做出这种的声明是相当令人震惊的。
Because Arjuna had already previously vowed that he would kill anybody suggest to him that put down the Gandiva bow.
阿尔朱呢曾经发誓，他将杀死任何仅仅向他建议放下 Gandiva 弓的人。
In the Mahabharata, there's an incident at one point. Yudhisthira was defeated by Karna.
在 Mahabharata 之中有这样一个事例，就是有一次 Yudhisthira 被 Karna 所击败。当阿尔朱呢听说 Yudhisthira 离开战场的时候，他也离开战场。Yudhisthira 是否还好？
So when Arjuna came to see Yudhisthira, Yudhisthira thought that Arjuna must have defeated Karna.
当 Arjuna 去看 Yudhisthira 的时候 ，Yudhisthira 以为 Arjuna 一定已经杀了 Karna。
If Arjuna has come to see me, he must have good news for me.
他就在想，如果 Arjuna 来见我，一定是给我带好消息来了。
So when Arjuna came in to see Yudhisthira, Yudhisthira said to him, "Did you defeat Karna? Did you kill him?"
当 Arjuna 去看 Yudhisthira 的时候。Yudhisthira 就对 Arjuna 说，你是不是已经击败了 Karna？ 你是不是已经杀了 Karna？
But Arjuna said, "No." He said, "I haven't even fought with him yet." He said, "I just came to see you. I heard you were injured."
Arjuna 说不，我还没有跟他打过仗呢。我只是来看你。我因为我听说呢，你已经受伤了。
So when Yudhisthira heard that, then he was so angry. He felt so angry. He insulted Arjuna.
当 Yudhisthira 听到这番话的时候，他非常的愤怒，所以他就羞辱了 Arjuna。
And he said to Arjuna, he said, "You're not even worthy to carry that Gandiva bow."
他对 Arjuna 说，你根本就不配拿着 Gandiva 弓。
You should put down that Gandiva bow.
你应该把 Gandiva 弓放下。
So when Arjuna heard this, he had made a vow he would kill anybody who said like that to him.
Arjuna 听到这个的时候呢，他就发誓要杀死任何。让他放下甘地瓦宫的人。
He took his vow so seriously that he was ready to kill even his older brother.
他非常严厉地发下这个誓言，所以他甚至准备要杀死他的大哥。
And he drew out his sword and he was ready to kill Yudhisthira.
他就拔出他的宝剑，准备杀了 Yudhisthira.
But Krishna was with him.
但 Krishna 和他在一起。
And Krishna told him, he said, "You don't need to kill him physically. You can kill him by your words."
Krishna 就对 Arjuna 说，你不必在躯体上杀了他，你可以通过你的言语杀了他。
If you just simply insult him, it's good as killing him.
如果你仅仅是侮辱他，那么就跟杀了他是一样的。
So then Arjuna began to insult Yudhisthira, and he said that, "You say I'm not a Kshatriya, but what about you?"
Arjuna 接着开始羞辱 Yudhisthira, 他说，你认为我不是一个 Kshatriya, 可是你又怎么样？
He said, "You let your own wife be taken away during the gambling match."
你在赌博的那个竞赛之中的时候，允许你的妻子被别人夺走。
And you wouldn't let us do anything to defend her.
而你却不允许我们做任何的事情来保卫她。
He said, "What kind of Kshatriya are you?"
你是什么样的 Kshatriya?
And he really insulted Yudhisthira.
这样他就真的羞辱了 Yudhisthira.
But then, after Arjuna said this, then he fell at Yudhisthira's feet.And he took the dust from his feet.
在 Arjuna 对 Yudhisthira 做了这番羞辱之后，他又跌拜在 Yudhisthira 的足下，取了 Yudhisthira 足下的尘土。
So after insulting him, then he fell at his feet for forgiveness.
因此在羞辱他之后呢，他又跌拜在他的足下请求原谅。
So Arjuna had taken this vow so serious that anybody tells me to put down this Gandiva bow, I will kill them.
尔朱呢非常严肃地发下这个誓言，任何人如果有人向我建议放下甘地瓦弓，我就要杀了他。
And he was even ready to kill. He insulted his own older brother.
他甚至准备杀死他自己的大哥。
And he had so much respect for Yudhisthira.
而他是如此的尊敬 Yudhisthira.
He gave so much importance to keeping his vow.
但仍然呢，他对于遵守自己的誓言，觉得这个事情非常的重要。
So we can just understand.What is the situation at the end of the first chapter?
这样我们就可以理解到，在第一章的末尾，情况是怎么一回事了。
Arjuna himself is putting down his bow.
Arjuna 自己把他的弓放下了。
He's so bewildered, so troubled by this situation.
他受到这种情况非常大的困惑、迷茫。
So now we're going to read the second chapter.
现在我们要读第二章。
The second chapter is called The Contents of the Torah.
第二章的标题就叫做《薄伽梵歌内容戳要》。
Karma Yoga, Jnana Yoga, and a little bit of Bhakti Yoga.
第二章将向我们讲述 Karma Yoga, Jnana Yoga, 还有一小点 Bhakti Yoga.
I will read the Sanskrit to you.
我给你们读一下梵文。
Sanjaya Uvacha, Tam Tata Kripaya Vishtam, Ashrupurna Kulekshanam.Vishidantam midam vacham uvacha madhusudana
Sanjaya 说看到 Arjuna 满怀悲恻眼泪汪汪心情沉郁 Madhusudan Krishna 就说了下面这番话要指物质层面的悲恻哀伤泪水都是对真正的自我无知的表现对永恒灵魂的同情和关切就是自觉在这一时节中摩度摩的徒者 Madhusudan 一词意味深长主 Krishna 杀死一恶魔 Madhu 现在 Arjuna 希望 Krishna 杀死误解这一恶魔正是这一恶魔在 Arjuna 履行职责时降临在他身上使他试图推卸责任没有人知道悲悯之心该用在哪里为溺水者的衣服而悲伤是没有意义的对于一个落入无知之洋的人来说只拯救穿在他外面的衣服粗糙的物质躯体并不能救他不懂得这一点而去为外表的衣装悲伤的人叫做 Shudra 这种人为一些不必要的事物而哀伤 Arjuna 乃是 Chachya 本不应该有这种举止不过主 Krishna 能驱除愚昧者的哀伤主就是为此而薄伽梵歌的这一章通过分析物质躯体和灵魂圣主 Krishna 以至高无上的权威教导我们自我觉悟不依附成果专注于真正的自我之中便可达到觉悟的境界
Krishna is described as Madhusudana
Krishna 被描述为是 Madhusudana
Madhusudana means the killer of the demon Madhu
Madhusudana 的意思就是杀死恶魔 Madhu 的人
Srila Prabhupada explains that Arjuna wants Krishna to kill the doubts in his mind
Srila Prabhupada 解释说 Arjuna 希望 Krishna 杀死他心中的疑惑
Srila Prabhupada explains this compassion of Arjuna.
Srila Prabhupada 解释了 Arjuna 的怜悯
He describes this as like the compassion for the dress of a drowning man.
他把这种怜悯描述成对一个溺水者的人的衣服的怜悯
It's a useful example to use in preaching.
这是非常有用处而且是非常重要的一个在传教中可以用得上的例子
You know, that if you see somebody drowningAnd you go in to save him.
如果你看到有人快淹死了，然后你去救他。
And then you come back and say, "I've saved him."
你回来拿着衣服说，我救了他了，我救了他了。
You only saved the jacket.
你只救了这件夹克，你救的是衣服，不是那个人。
So this type of compassion is useless.
因此，这种类型的怜悯是没有用处的。
Krishna has to kill this type of compassion.
Krishna 必须要杀死这种类型的怜悯。
Arjuna is thinking this compassion is very good, it's very noble.
Arjuna 认为这种怜悯非常好，特别高贵。
But just like, you know, this example, if you just simply save the dress of a person, then, and let the person drown, what is it good?
就像这个例子里边说明的，如果你只拯救了那个人的，要淹死的那个人的衣服，而不是那个人的话，那么你这种怜悯有什么用处呢？
So in the material world,Everyone is in this bodily conception of life.
在物质世界里，每个人都处在生命的躯体化概念之中。
We're very attached to the dress.
我们非常依附于衣服。
We don't understand the real self.
我们依附的是衣服，却并不理解自我是什么。
Krishna has to destroy this type of compassion. He has to purify it.
因此 ，Krishna 必须要杀死这种类型的怜悯，为了净化我们。
The first chapter, Prabhupada has spoke about compassion of Arjuna in different ways.
在第一章里呢，帕帕用不同的方式讲述了 Arjuna 的怜悯。
In text 28 of the first chapter, Prabhupada describes Arjuna's compassion as being that of a soft-hearted devotee.
在第一章第二十八十节里，帕帕就描述 Arjuna 的这种怜悯呢，是出自于一位心肠非常柔弱的一个奉献者。
Such symptoms in Arjuna were not due to weakness.
这种现象并不是 Arjuna 脆弱的表现，而是他作为主纯粹的奉献者所具备的仁厚品格的流露。
In the next two verses, in text 29 and in 30, Prabhupada condemns this attachment, this compassion.
但在接下来的两个世节，也就是第二十九和第三十世节中，普拉布帕谴责了这种怜悯。
He says that this type of compassion is just due to attachment, a great attachment.
他说这种类型怜悯只是出于极大的依附所引起的。
It appears like there's some contradiction.
看起来好像有一些矛盾。
Prabhupada, in one place, he's glorifying the compassion, signs of a good devotee.
帕帕一方面他在荣耀这种怜悯，也就是说这是一位奉献者的标志。
But in another place, he's saying it's just simply attachment.
但在另外一个地方，他又说这仅仅是依附而已。
We have to understand that compassion on the spiritual platform is higher than this material compassion.
所以我们要理解到，处在灵性层面上的怜悯要高于处在物质层面上的怜悯。
A person may have this compassion. This may be considered a good quality in the material sense, but it's not a spiritual quality.
一个具有这种品质的人，可能在物质的角度上被认为这是一个很好的资格，一个品质，但是在灵性上却并不认为这是一个好的资格。
Another point is that Arjuna is under the influence of Yoga Maya.
另外一个要点是说 ，Arjuna 处在 Yoga Maya 的影响之下。
Krishna has put him under this covering for the purpose of allowing him to speak Bhagavad Gita.
Krishna 把他置于这层覆盖之下，就是为了允许这样他可以讲述薄伽梵歌。
Arjuna is a pure devotee. He's a great soul.
Arjuna 是一位纯粹奉献者，他是一个伟大的灵魂。
Wherever Krishna goes, Arjuna goes with him.
无论 Krishna 去哪儿 ，Arjuna 都跟他一起去。
Krishna is speaking Bhagavad Gita just now, some other universe with Arjuna.
Krishna 现在还在其他的一个宇宙，在跟 Arjuna 一起讲述薄伽梵歌。
So we should not misunderstand the position of Arjuna.
因此，我们不要误解 Arjuna 的地位。
He's been put under this conditioning just for Krishna to speak Bhagavad Gita.
他被置于这种受条件限制的境况之中，只是为了让 Krishna 能够讲述薄伽梵歌。
Prabhupada gives an example. When a young woman is married, she may come to live in the home of her husband.
帕帕举个例子说，当一个年轻的姑娘结婚的时候，她就会住到丈夫家里。
In her husband's home, the husband's mother and father are there.
在丈夫的家里，丈夫的父亲和母亲都在。
So the mother and father are careful not to give too much instruction to their new daughter.
那么这个父亲和母亲就会非常的小心，不要给他们的新女儿很多的训示。
The woman has come to live there as their daughter-in-law.
这个女孩子作为他们的儿媳妇住在他们家里。
And she will not be familiar with their different practices, the things they do in their home.
他可能对他们家里的这些不同的做法、不同的习俗不熟悉。
So the mother will be careful. She will be sensitive to try to give too much instruction to the woman.
这个婆婆会非常的小心、非常的敏感，不要给这个新嫁入他们家的女孩子太多的训示。
And instead of giving instruction to her, she may give the mother and father may give instruction to the son or to their own daughter rather than to the daughter-in-law.
父亲和母亲呢，不会给这个儿媳妇训示，而是恰恰相反，会给他们自己的儿子和自己的女儿训示。
In the same way, Krishna is instructing his devotee Arjuna for the sake of instructing all of us.
同样道理 ，Krishna 为了教导我们所有人的缘故，在训示他的奉献者 Arjuna。
But Arjuna is not on the same position as we are.
但 Arjuna 却不和我们处在同样的地位上。
But the sake of speaking Bhagavad Gita, he is put in this covering.
但为了讲述薄伽梵歌的缘故，他就被置于这层覆盖之下。
Sri Bhagavan Uvacha Kutastva Kashmalamidam Vishame Samupastitam Anarya Jastam Ashwaryam Akirti Karamarjuna
我们现在读第二个诗节，至尊人格神说，我亲爱的阿朱那呀，这些污秽怎会染上你身？这些污秽与了解生命价值的人极不相称，他们不会导人向高等星宿，却只会招来恶名。
Arjuna is described as somebody who is not worthy of being an Aryan.
Arjuna 在这里被描述为是不值得被称为 Aryan 的人。
An Aryan is one who knows the value of life.
Aryan 是一个知道生命价值的人。
They're considered to be the very advanced civilization.
他们被认为是处在非常进步的文明之中。
But Arjuna, by his statements and by this material compassion, Krishna is chastising him.
而阿朱呢，凭着他的这种，他前面说过的这些声明，凭着他这种物质的怜悯 ，Krishna 就在责怪他。
This is the Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita.
这是 Krishna 在波迦梵歌之中的第一个声明。
And you can hear, you can see how he is speaking to Arjuna.
你们可以看到，可以听到他是怎么跟尔朱那说话的。
He's just like slapping his face.
就像是在扇他的耳光一样。
You know, what kind of person are you?
你是什么样的人呢？
Where have these impurities come from?
这些污秽是从哪儿来的？
You know, you're supposed to be a Kshatriya.
你应该是一个沙雀啊。
You are born in a royal family.
你出生在皇室家族。
How is it you are speaking in this way?
你怎么能这么说话呢？
Krishna is really trying to bring him to his senses.
Krishna 真的是想让他恢复理智。
Krishna can be very soft, but he can be also like a thunderbolt sometimes.
Krishna 可以非常的温柔，但有的时候他可以变得像霹雳一样。
Just like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he could be soft as a rose, and he could be like a thunderbolt.
就像 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, 他可以像玫瑰一样的柔软，然而又可以像霹雳一样强硬。
One of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's devotees was, his wife was having a baby. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu named the baby.
当 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 的一个奉献者的妻子要生孩子的时候， Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 就给那个孩子取了名字。
But when another man who was a sannyasi,looked lustily at another woman, then he condemned him.
而当另外的一个萨尼亚西的奉献者非常色眯眯地看了另外一个女子一眼的时候呢，他就谴责了她。
And he refused to ever allow him to come in his association again.
他就再也永远不允许这个人到他的联谊之中了。
And when that man committed suicide, then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "Very good."
当那个人自杀的时候呢，切坦尼马哈普布说非常好。
He has done the proper thing.
他已经做了恰当的事情。
So he could be very soft with some people, and on other occasions he could be like a thunderbolt.
他可以在一些场合对一些人非常的柔和、温柔，但在另外的一些时候，他可以变得像霹雳一样。
But it's all mercy.
但全都是仁慈。
When he's like a thunderbolt, that is also his kindness.
当他像霹雳一样的时候，那也是他的仁慈。
Just like Krishna.Came to deliver the devotees and to annihilate the demons.
就像是 Krishna 来拯救奉献者，消灭那些恶魔们。
But his killing the demons is also his greatest mercy.
但他杀死恶魔们也是他的最伟大的仁慈。
Because when they're killed by Krishna, they get liberation.
因为当他们被 Krishna 所杀的时候，他们就获得了解脱。
So Krishna is equal to everyone.
Krishna 对每一个人都是平等的。
However, sometimes we apply our material.Feelings, our sentimental feelings, and we're thinking, oh, this person is not being nice to me.
但有的时候我们会运用自己的一些物质的情感，我们感情用事的会认为，哦，这个人对我不好。
So Arjuna could also think, oh, Krishna is speaking so nice, so harsh to me. Why is he speaking so strong?
Arjuna 也可以认为，哦， Krishna 为什么对我说话这么刻薄、这么严厉、这么强烈呢？
Prabhupada had the experience of being chastised by his own spiritual master.
Prabhupada 也有被他自己的灵性导师所责怪的体验。
He tells that one time he was sitting listening to his Guru Maharaj give a lecture.
他说有一次他坐在那里聆听他的 Guru Maharaj 讲课。
And somebody behind him touched him on the shoulder.
他后边有一个人碰了他的肩膀。
So he turned around to see what he wanted.
他就转过脸去看他想要干什么。
And his Guru Maharaj immediately stopped giving the lecture.
他的 Guru Maharaj 立刻停止讲课。
And then he pointed to him. He said, "Do you want to come up here and give the talk?"
就指着他说，你想到这点来，讲话吗？
And then he said to the other person who had touched him on the shoulder, he said to him, "Do you think I am your property because you give 10 rupees every month donation?"
接着他指着那个碰触啪啪肩膀的那个人说，你以为你每个月给我10卢比的捐款就把我收买了吗？
So Prabhupada said, "This was a moment of my greatest mercy."
Prabhupada 说，哦，这就是我得到最大仁慈的时刻。
My spiritual master was so kind to me, chastised me.
我的灵性导师对我真好，他责怪了我。
So here you see Krishna chastising Arjuna.
在这里，我们可以看到 Krishna 在责怪 Arjuna.
They're friends.
他们是朋友。
But Krishna is giving these strong words, trying to bring Arjuna to his senses.
但 Krishna 却在讲出这些强硬的话语，为了让 Arjuna 恢复理智。
We should not be sentimental.
我们不应该感情用事。
In the purport, Prabhupada establishes Krishna's position as the supreme absolute truth.
在要旨之中帕帕确立了 Krishna 的地位是至尊的绝对真理
you know, he explains the different aspects of the absolute truth
他解释了绝对真理的不同方面
Brahman, Paramatman, Bhagavan
Brahman, Paramatma 和 Bhagavan
and then he talks about howKrishna is Bhagavan
接着他谈到 Krishna 如何是 Bhagavan
possessing all opulences
具备所有的富裕
He says, Krishna is the supreme controller.
他说 Krishna 是至尊的控制者。
Krishna is the origin of all incarnations.
Krishna 是所有化身的源泉。
And here is Arjuna lamenting for his relatives.
而这里 Arjuna 却在为自己的亲戚而悲伤。
So this is just foolishness.
这只不过是愚蠢罢了。
You have the opportunity to be with the source of all incarnations, the supreme personality of Godhead.And you lament for some family members.
你有机会跟至尊人格守神，跟所有化身的这个源泉在一起，可是你却在为一些家庭成员而悲伤。
So Krishna tells Arjuna, "You're not worthy of being an, you're not an Aryan, you're not a civilized person."
Krishna 就告诉 Arjuna 说，你根本不配成为一位 Aryan， 你不是一个有教养的人。
Anyone who's attached to this body, thinking we're this body, then they're just like a foolish animal.
任何一个依附于我们这个躯体的人他们就像一个愚蠢的动物一样
So Krishna said Krishna shows his surprise about this
Krishna 对此表示惊讶
He says where have these impurities come from
他说这些污秽是从哪儿来的
Just like Hiranyakashipu He asked Prahlad When he sees his son is a great devotee He says Ah, where did this come from How is it you're such a devotee
就像黑人卡西普在问他的儿子 Prahlad 当他发现他是一个伟大奉献者的时候他就说你怎么能成为一个奉献者
Here on the other hand you have Krishna saying to Arjuna How is it you're such a foolish materialist You're so attached
而在另一方面我们可以看到 Krishna 在对 Arjuna 说你怎么可能成为这么一个愚蠢的物质主义者呢这么依附、
Here he's had the association of Krishna And he's born in such a great family of devotees
在这里他有 Krishna 的涟漪而且还出生在奉献者之家
But he's lamenting for the body
可是他却在为躯体而哀伤
Lamenting for the relatives, my family members
为他的那些亲戚为他的家庭成员而悲伤
This is not proper for a person in Krishna's
这对一个处在 Krishna 知觉中的人而言是不恰当的
NowSome lamentation, we may say, well, is this possible? Is it really like this? I can't even lament for my family.
那么我们可能会问，难道这个不可以吗？我难道就不可以为我的家庭而悲伤了吗？
Somebody asked Prabhupada, he said, how did Arjuna feel after he heard Bhagavad Gita spoken by Krishna?
有的人问帕帕说，在 Arjuna 听完 Krishna 讲述薄伽梵歌之后，他有什么感觉？
And then,He had to see his own son, Abhimanyu, killed in the battlefield.
接着呢，他就看到他自己的儿子 Abhimanyu 在战争中被杀。
Didn't he lament for his son?
他有没有为他的儿子而悲伤呢？
Lamented.
He lamented a little bit.
是的，有点伤心。
But the next day he went out there and fought.
但第二天他又接着去战斗了。
Yeah, he went out there to get revenge.
他去复仇。
To kill.
去杀戮。
The people who were responsible for killing his son.
去杀死那些为杀死他的儿子负有责任的人。
Little lamentation may be there, but it's not doesn't stay for long.
可能有一点悲伤，但是没有持续多久。
Because you have this knowledge, this transcendental knowledge, you have to overcome the ignorant attachment.
因为已经具有了这门超然的知识，那就可以征服，就可以跨越这种物质的依附。
In the first purport of the first verse, Prabhupada makes this point.
在第一个诗节的第一个要旨之中，帕帕就指出了这一点。
At the end of the purport,
在要旨的末尾
，Prabhupada says, "Krishna is instructing in self-realization."
末尾 ，Krishna 在教导自我觉悟的科学。
And then the last sentence, "This realization is possible."
最后一句话说。这种觉悟只有在一个人毫不依附果报活动的结果的时候才有可能一个人就是处在真正自我的这种固定的概念之中、
So this is the qualification To receive this knowledge To actually realize this knowledge We have to be detached
这便是超脱的一个方面如果我们要想觉悟到这门知识就必须超脱
we can develop this detachment, the more we cultivate transcendental knowledge.
我们越是培养超然的知识，我们就可以培养起超脱来。
And as devotees, we do not separately cultivate knowledge, but we simply cultivate our devotion to Krishna.
作为奉献者，我们并不单独的去培养这种超脱，或者培养知识，我们只是培养我们的对 Krishna 的奉献服务。
As we cultivate our devotion to Krishna, we automatically develop detachment and knowledge from the material world.
当我们培养对 Krishna 的奉爱的时候，我们也就自然而然地培养起了我们对这个物质世界的超脱以及知识。
So Krishna continues to insult Arjuna in the third verse.
在第三个世界之中 ，Krishna 继续羞辱 Arjuna.
He says, "You can read."
Prita 之子呀，不要屈服于这使人堕落的软弱，这与你的身份很不相称。快快放下你心中猥琐的脆弱，站起来吧，惩敌者。
Krishna calls Arjuna Parantapa, means one who is chastise, can chastise his enemies.
Krishna 管 Arjuna 叫做 Parantapa, 就是惩敌者。
Accuses him of being impotent and having a weak heart.
但他也谴责了他没有能力，心肠非常的软弱。
So we can see Krishna is really not approving of Arjuna's compassion.
因此我们可以看到 Krishna 并不赞许 Arjuna 的怜悯。
Arjuna was thinking, then this is good, this is a good thing.
Arjuna 在想不战斗这是一件好事。
But Krishna thinks if he doesn't fight, he will have a very bad name.
但 Krishna 在想，如果他不作战的话，便会落下恶名。
And certainly he will not go to the higher planets.
而且他当然不会到高等的星球。
That was mentioned in the second verse. They do not lead to higher planets.
那么这就在第二个世界中得到提及，就是他们不会导人向高等星球。
Krishna is making it clear that Arjuna, if Arjuna doesn't fight, he is not going to get any good results.
那么 Krishna 在这里清楚地指明，如果 Arjuna 不作战的话，没有什么好结果。
And Prabhupada in the purport talks about the duty of the Kshatriya.
Prabhupada 在要旨之中提到了 Kshatriya 的职责。
Accept the challenge.
他们要接受挑战。
Yesterday we mentioned both in gambling and in fighting.
昨天我们已经提到了在赌博和战争之中。
If he doesn't do that, then he's a Kshatriya in name only.
如果要是不做这样的事情的话，他就只是名义上的 Kshatriya。
And if a Brahmana does not act piously, then he is also not a Brahmana.
如果一个 Brahmana 不行事虔诚，那么他也不是一个 Brahmana。
There's a different standard of behavior for Kshatriyas and for Brahmanas.
因此，在 Kshatriya 和 Brahmana 之间，他们的行为举止的标准是不一样的。
A Brahmana.He is famous, you know, he's expected to forgive someone if they do any wrong to him.
一位 Brahmana 被认为应该是去原谅别人的，如果要是别人对他做了一件错事的话。
Yeah, if somebody insults a Brahmana and then they ask for forgiveness, then the Brahmana will forgive them, oh, it's all right. The Brahmana will tolerate, he will not think about anything.
如果一个人侮辱了一位 Brahmana, 然后又去找他祈求原谅的话，这个 Brahmana 就会原谅他，说没关系，因为他会容忍任何对他的羞辱。
A Brahmana has to have this forgiving nature.
一位 Brahmana 就要具备这种宽恕别人的本性。
But a Kshatriya, if one is a Kshatriya, it's a very different.
可是如果一个人要 Kshatriya 的话，就相当不一样了。
Kshatriya cannot tolerate insult.
Kshatriya 不能够容忍羞辱。
He has to prove his.Bravery.
他要证明自己的勇敢。
We have to see the difference here. We are devotees. We're devotees. We're trying to cultivate more brahminical qualities.
我们在这里要看到这种区别。我们都是奉献者，所以奉献者就意味着要培养更多的婆罗门的品质。
We shouldn't try to imitate Arjuna.
我们不应该试图模仿 Arjuna.
Arjuna, he has to, you know, remember all the injustices which were carried out against him.
而中呢必须要记住所有对他的不公正的行为。
Well, they tried to kill Bhima by giving poison.
他们如何试图通过下毒来杀死 Bhima?
How they lost all their property in the unfair gambling match.
他们如何在不公正的赌博竞赛之中失去了所有的财产。
How their wife was taken from them and insulted.
他们的妻子如何被从他们的身边夺走并受到了羞辱
How their house was set on fire. They were trying to kill them. They set their house on fire.
他们的房子如何被人家点火就是他们想杀了他们所以他们的房子被烧了
So, and so many, there were so many acts, so many injustices performed against them.
那么有这么多的行为，有这么多对他们不公正的事情。
And Arjuna was justified to kill them for any one of these things.
阿朱呢有权利为任何其中的一件事情就可以杀死他们。
But Arjuna is thinking, oh, it's not good to kill them. No, they're my family members.
但阿朱呢在想，哦，杀了他们不是一件好事，他们都是我的家庭成员。
So Krishna is not very satisfied with this thinking of Arjuna.
Krishna 对阿朱呢的这种想法不太满意。
Says this is just a weakness of heart.
他说这只是心意的软弱。
This is not the behavior of a real Kshatriya.
这不是一位真正 Kshatriya 的举止。
Text 4, Arjuna begins to reply to Krishna.
接着第四个时节 Arjuna 开始回答 Krishna.
Arjuna vacha katam bhishmam maham sankhye dronam cha madhusudana ishubhi pariyochyami pujarha varisudana.
阿朱呢说杀敌者魔度魔的徒者啊 Bhishma 和 Dronacharya 等都是值得敬重的，我怎能在战场上以利剑反击他们呢？
And Arjuna's got some arguments to defend his position, to defend his thinking to Krishna.
阿朱呢他有一些的论点来为他自己的这种观点来辩护，跟 Krishna 进行辩论。
He says to Krishna, he said, you're known as Madhusudana, you killed the demon Madhu.
他对 Krishna 说呢，你是以 Madhusudana 而闻名的，你杀死了恶魔 Madhu。
But you want me to kill my grandfather and my teacher.
可是你却想让我杀了我的祖父和我的老师。
You are Arisudana, you kill the enemies.
你是 Arisudana, 你杀死敌人。
But you want me to kill my grandfather and my teacher.
可是你却想让我杀了我的祖父和我的老师。
It's not the same.
是不一样的。
Why you expect me to have to kill my grandfather, my teacher?
为什么你要指望着我杀了我的祖父和我的老师呢？
Your teacher, you never killed Sandipani Muni.
你从来没有杀过你的老师，你没有杀了 Sandipani Muni.
You're asking me to kill Drona.
可你却在让我去杀死 Drona。
Prabhupada describes the etiquette how even if they attack, they should be given respect.
在这里帕帕提到了礼仪，即便呢他们发动进攻，但仍然他们要受到尊敬。
Prabhupada says should not even be given a verbal fight.
帕帕在这里提到呢，连这种嘴上的这种吵架都不应该有。
Sometimes Prabhupada would chastise a disciple and say you didn't do this.
有的时候帕帕会责怪一个门徒，你没有这么，你没有做这个。
And if the disciple tried to defend him, said, but Prabhupada, I was, then Prabhupada would get very angry.
如果这个门徒要试图为自己辩护的说，可是帕帕，然后帕帕就变得非常的愤怒。他们试图在为自己辩护，在反驳，帕帕不喜欢这样。
Because the superior should not be given even a verbal fight.
因为对待自己的长辈，甚至你连跟他们口角都是不应该的。
Probably remember when we are children.The mother or father will criticize, and they will say, "Don't argue."
我们还记得，当我们是小孩的时候，我们的父亲或者是母亲会跟我们说，不许争辩。
Don't answer back.
不要试图这样的反驳。
No, the teachers will say if the teacher says something, you try to argue back. The teacher will say, don't answer back. Don't argue.
如果老师要说了什么，你试图跟这个老师辩论的话，老师就会说，不许狡辩。
So this is the etiquette between the superior.Junior.
这就是在长辈跟晚辈之间的礼仪。
So Arjuna feels like this. How can I fight against these people?
Arjuna 的感觉也是这样，我怎么能跟这些人打仗呢？
And then in the next verse he says better to live by begging.
在下一个世界里他说最好我还是通过乞讨为生。
Of course a Kshatriya should never beg.
当然一位 Kshatriya 永远也不应该乞讨。
There's a story in the Mahabharata. One occasionBhima was looking, collecting lotus flowers to offer to Draupadi.
那么在 Mahabharata 之中有一个故事，讲的是一次 Bhima 试图为 Draupadi 收集一些莲花。
They were collecting these 1,000 petal lotuses.
他们在收集这种千瓣莲花。
And he found a big lake. Many of these lotuses were growing.
他发现有一个湖，在这湖里长了很多这种莲花。
So he was going in the lake to collect these lotuses, but then someYakshas and Rakshasas, they came and said, this lake to the god Kuvera, you cannot just take these, you have to get permission.
当他到这个湖里边去摘莲花的时候呢，来了一些 Yakshas, 还有 Rakshas, 就对他说，你不能够在没有得到我们的神 Kuvera 允许的情况下就去摘花。
First, you have to ask permission, then you can get.
首先你应该得到允许，然后可以摘。
But Bhima said, I'm a Kshatriya, I do not beg from anybody.
但 Bhima 说，我是一位 Kshatriya, 我不会从任何人那乞讨。
So he went and started to collect the petals, so then there was a big fight.
他就去摘那些花瓣，然后就开始一场大战。
Oh, Bhima had to, he killed all these Yakshas and Rakshas.
Bhima 杀死了所有的 Yakshas 和 Rakshas.
But he would not beg.
他不会去乞讨
because Kshatriya can never do that.
因为 Kshatriya 永远不能够那么做
He will lose his position as a Kshatriya.
这样他就会失去他作为 Kshatriya 的地位
Brahmana can beg.
Brahmana 可以乞讨
But Kshatriya will never beg.
但因为 Kshatriya 永远不乞讨
You can read that first part of the purport for this purport.
第五节的要旨根据经典的法规是非混淆做出恶事来的老师只配令人唾弃Bhishma 和 Dronacharya 受禄于 Duryodhan 不得不帮他虽然他们本不应该只为了俸禄的缘故而站到他一边在这种情况下他们失去了师道尊严不过 Arjuna 仍把他们视为长辈所以杀了他们而享受物质获益无异于受用血腥的赃物
So this was the situation with Bhishma and Drona They had lost their position respectable teachers
这就是 Bhishma 和 Drona 他们的这个地情况他们已经失去了自己作为受人尊敬的老师的地位
they had become influenced with they become dependent on their maintenance they were depending on the palace of Dhritarashtra and Duryodhana
他们依赖了自己的生计也就是说他们依赖了 Dhritarashtra 和 Duryodhana 的宫殿
so it's not a good idea for people to become dependent on others
因此如果你要是老想依靠别人的话这可不是一个好主意
and especially Brahmana shouldn't put themselves in that position depending on others
特别是 Brahmana 不应该让自己置于这种情况也就是说依靠别人的
will lose their discrimination of what is right and wrong
那样你就会丧失你的正确与错误的分辨力
so we may question how is it Bhishma can be considered a Mahajan he's one of the authorities on devotional service
我们可能会问那么 Bhishma 怎么可能被认为是位 Mahajan 也就是说奉献服务的伟大权威之一呢
He is one of the great authorities
他是一位伟大的权威
Krishna brings Yudhisthira to him at the time of Bhishma leaving the world
当 Bhishma 离开这个世界的时候呢 Krishna 把 Yudhisthira 带到他面前
So the fact is that the battle of Kurukshetra and all of Bhishma's injuries that wasrelieving him of all the karma
事实是这个 Kurukshetra 的战争以及 Bhishma 受的这些伤呢全都是为了缓解他的 karma
after his body had been filled with arrows then he was on the platform of pure devotional service
当他的躯体插满了箭的时候他就处在纯粹奉献服务的层面上
and that was at this time Krishna brought Yudhisthira and Bhishma was able to give such good instruction to him
这个时候 Krishna 就带 Yudhisthira 到他的面前而 Bhishma 就可以给他做出特别好的教导
We can't say that Bhishma's whole life was totally dedicated to Krishna and Krishna's service
我们不能说 Bhishma 整个的一生都献给了 Krishna 和对 Krishna 的服务
Because he had witnessed the gambling match
因为他也目睹了这场赌博却没有阻止他
And he had seen them try to disgrace Draupadi
他也看到他们试图羞辱 Draupadi
and then he also fought against Krishna at the battle of Kurukshetra
而且再次呢他在 Kurukshetra 的战争之中跟 Krishna 对立的作战
but after the Kurukshetra after he fell on the battlefield full of arrows then he was ready to be fully absorbed in Krishna consciousness
但当他在战场上倒下来身上插满了箭的时候他就做好准备完全沉浸在 Krishna 知觉之中
and he can deliver all thisknowledge
他就可以传授所有的知识
So this is his final instructions when he's on the bed of arrows that he is the Mahajan
当他在箭床上的时候呢他就是可以做这些教导他就是一位 Mahajan
Arjuna goes on Arjuna shows he cannot make up his mind what is right
第六个诗节里表明 Arjuna 下不了决心不知道什么是对的
Read the translation
征服他们还是被他们征服杀了对 Dhritarashtra 的诸子我们会痛不欲生可是现在他们就在这战场上站在我们面前
Arjuna doesn't know this is another reason for Arjuna not wanting to fight
阿忠呢也不知道，所以这是阿忠呢不想作战的另外一个理由。
There's a common saying, India, they have, if you're not sure if you should do something or if you shouldn't do something, then it's better not to do it.
在印度有一句俗话说得好，就是说如果你不确定该做什么不该做什么，那最好你还是别做了。
Just like if they give you, somebody gives you something to eat, and you're not sure if you eat it or you shouldn't eat it, then it's maybe safer not to eat it.
就像有人给你一个东西吃，那么你不太确定到底是应该吃还是不应该吃，那么更安全的是还是不吃。
Sometimes, like in the cold weather, you have power of digestion, so it's easier to accept to eat food in the cold weather.
有时候天气很冷，那么在天气很冷的时候，你有很强的消化力，所以在这个时候你就可以更多的吃一些东西。
In the hot weather, you don't have such strong digestion. Warm weather, you're not able to digest so much.
可是，在天气暖和的时候，你就没有这么好的胃口了，就不会消化这么多的东西。
So they have this saying: you're not sure if you should do something or you shouldn't do it, then probably you shouldn't do it.
所以他们的俗话说的就是，如果你不太确定该做什么不该做什么，那么最好可能你还是不要做。
So Arjuna is thinking like this. He's not sure. He said, "I don't know if it's right or wrong. If I should fight or I shouldn't fight. So I shouldn't. I guess I shouldn't fight."
Arjuna 就是这样想的。我不知道应该打仗还是不应该打仗好。那么我猜最好我还是别打仗了。
So text 7, nice verse. I will read the Sanskrit.Karpanya dosho pahata swabhava prichami tvam dharma samudacheta yachtreya syanishchitam bruhitan me shishyaste hamsadhi mam tvam prapanam
第七个世界非常好的一个世界，怎样做最好？现在我臣服你，做你的门徒，请你给我指示。
So this is starting now to surrender to Krishna.
阿忠呢，他看到他自己有一个大问题，而他自己呢又没有办法能解决得了他的问题，所以他就接近 Krishna 请求他的帮助。
In the purport, Srila Prabhupada explains how material miseries come.
在要旨之中 ，Prabhupada 就解释了物质的痛苦是如何到来的。
He said, just like in this material world, sometimes there is a fire, a forest fire takes place.
他说，就像在物质界里，森林里有的时候可能会发生一场大火。
Who caused the fire?
是谁引起了这场大火呢
？Nobody caused it; just comes about.
没有人去引发这场大火，只不过是由于木头互相之间的摩擦造成的。
In the same way, the miseries, the problems of life, they come of their own. Not just it doesn't take somebody else; they just happen on their own accord.
生活中的痛苦和麻烦呢，也是不请自来，不是通过别人造成的。
Some we like to blame other people for the problem.
我们喜欢为问题而责怪其他人。
But we should understand this is the nature of the material world.
但我们应该明白到这就是物质世界的本性。
Why is there so much suffering in the material world?
为什么在物质世界里有这么多的痛苦呢
？Because Krishna is reminding us that we're not supposed to be in this world.
因为 Krishna 在提醒我们，我们本来不应该待在这个物质世界里。
That these problems, we don't have to have all of these problems if we understand where we actually belong.
如果我们要是了解到自己真正属于哪儿的话，本来我们都不应该有这些问题的。
There are no problems in the real world, in the spiritual world.
在真正的真实的世界里，在灵性世界里是没有这些问题的。
But we have chosen to come in this place.
可是我们却选择来到这个地方。
So to get out, we have to approach. You have to take help from the teacher like Krishna, the represent Krishna or Krishna's representative.
为了出去的话，我们就必须要求助于 Krishna 的代表，就是说那些代表 Krishna 的老师。
So Arjuna is very fortunate. He has Krishna with him. He can go to Krishna and get help.
Arjuna 非常的幸运，他跟 Krishna 在一起，所以他可以直接找 Krishna 求得帮助。
Prabhupada talks about the Brahmana and the Kripana.
Prabhupada 提到了 Brahmana 和 Kripana。
Brahmana is a generous person.
Brahmana 是一位非常慷慨大度的人，而 Kripana 是一个守财奴。
So why are materialistic people called misers?
为什么物质主义者被称为是守财奴呢
？Who can say?
谁能说
？Put your hand up.
举手。
他使用他没有使用他这个人体的生命去觉悟 Krishna， 所以不是守财奴。
Yeah, they have the human form of life for the real purpose.
是的，他们有人体的生命，可是他们却没有把这个人体的生命用在真正的目的上。
So this is miser.
这个就是非常的守财奴般的。
Brahmana will get whatever he has, he will use it for the, he will give it even, he's willing to sacrifice first.
Brahmana 他无论有什么他都愿意用来做服务，他可以把他的一切都给别人。
Even they'll give up their own body for the benefit of others.
他们甚至可以为了其他人的好处而放弃自己的躯体。
So the best is give our body, our whole life for the service of Krishna. That's the best.
如果要是我们能够把整个的躯体，把我们整个这一生都给 Krishna， 那是最好的。
But if we can't give our whole life, then we should give all our money.
如果我们不能把自己的一生都献出来的话，至少要把钱交出来。
Give the money to be used for Krishna's service.
把钱拿出来用于对 Krishna 的服务。
If we don't have any money, then we should give our intelligence for Krishna's service.
如果要是没有钱的话，我们至少应该把自己的智慧用于对 Krishna 的服务。
And if we don't have any brain, any intelligence, then at least use your words for the service of Krishna.
如果我们要是连脑子都没有，没有任何智慧的话，至少应该用我们的言语去服务 Krishna.
This is our position. We don't have anything much to give Krishna.
这都是我们的地位，我们给 Krishna 的没有什么可给的。
So at least we have to use our tongue, our words in the service of Krishna.
至少我们可以用自己的舌头，用我们的言语来服务 Krishna.
Lord Chaitanya says, "Kirtaniya Sadahari, constantly chant the holy name."
主 Chaitanya 说 ，"Kirtaniya Sadahari, 不断的唱诵主的圣名。
Preach, speak the glories of Krishna.
传教，讲述 Krishna 的荣耀。
We don't have anything else to give Krishna.
我们没有其他可以给 Krishna 的东西了。
At least we can use our words for the service of Krishna.
至少我们可以用我们的言语来为 Krishna 服务。
Arjuna has made his decision on the basis of compassion.
Arjuna 正在臣服 Krishna， 他做决定呢是出于他的怜悯。
And he's also considered logic and also scriptures.
而且他也考虑到了逻辑和经典。
And he thinks, yeah, best thing is to go to Krishna.
他想最好还是去找 Krishna。
Krishna doesn't immediately accept him as his disciple.
但 Krishna 却没有立刻接受他为自己的门徒。
Text 7, Arjuna is surrendering to Krishna. He said, "I'm your disciple and a soul surrendered."
在第七个世界里 ，Arjuna 说：“我是你的门徒，而且是一个臣服了的灵魂。
”But the next verse is still Arjuna speaking. Krishna doesn't say, "All right, now, okay, I'm going to give you instruction."
但在下一个世界中还是阿朱呢在讲话 Krishna 并没有说好吧现在我要给你训示了
Krishna wants to test him
Krishna 想考验他
Krishna is thinking said, Why should you become my disciple? Your friend, why should I become your guru?
那么 Krishna 就在说为什么你要成为我的门徒呢我们两个是朋友为什么我要成为你的 guru 呢
Why don't you go to Vyasadev? He can be your guru
你为什么不去找 Vyasadev 他可以成为你的guru
Yeah, you have more respect for Vyasadev
是啊你对 Vyasadev 更尊敬
Yeah, you don't need me to be your guru I'm your friend
你不需要我做你的guru 我是你的朋友
Or Krishna may have said to Arjuna Oh, anyway, you have your Shastra Just, you know, you just use your Shastra You can see the Shastra yourself You don't need me
Krishna 也可能对 Arjuna 这样说你有 Shastra 你有那些经典了你可以自己去看 Shastra 你不需要我
So Krishna is testing Arjuna to see his determination
Krishna 就在考验 Arjuna 看看他的决心如何
Krishna we remember the second verse in this chapter Krishna was insulting Arjuna
我们还记得在这一章的第二个世界之中 Krishna 羞辱了 Arjuna
So Arjuna can understand Krishna'sAt least Krishna's mind is controlled and Krishna is able to properly advise him.
Arjuna 能够明白到至少 Krishna 他的心意是受控制的而且能够恰当的给他建议。
But when Arjuna surrenders to him, Krishna is not so he's not going to immediately accept.
但当 Arjuna 臣服于他的时候 Krishna 却没有轻易的立刻接受他。
Text 8.
第八个诗节。
Read.
我无法驱除这叫我感官焦酷的悲伤即使赢得盖世无双的王国拥有天堂上半神人般的权柄这悲伤也不会消除
Arjuna says huge kingdom if he has a kingdom on earth like the demigods in heaven
Arjuna 在这里说呢即便他有一个非常庞大的王国即便拥有天堂上半神人那样的王国的话他也不会满足的
So Srila Prabhupada takes up this point in the purport to explain to us that material facilitiesWill not satisfy our uncontrolled mind.
那么 Srila Prabhupada 就抓住这一点，在要旨中向我们解释说呢，物质的那些便利条件是不能够满足我们不受控制的心意的。
in the material world, we're always thinking we need something, we need, you know, the single woman thinks she needs to get married.
在物质世界里，我们都想我们需要一些东西。一个单身的女子认为自己应该结婚。
And then when a woman's married, sometimes they think I need a child.
有的时候，这个女人一结了婚，她就想我需要一个孩子。
Or they're thinking I need a bigger home.
或者她在想我需要一个更大的家。
Or once they get, then they think that my husband needs to get a car. We need a car.
这个都得到了，他就想我的丈夫需要一辆车，我们应该有辆车。
You know, we're living in the city. We should go and live some other place.
或者是说，我们住在城市里，我们应该去找个别的地方住。
The mind is never satisfied, no matter what.
无论我们处在什么样的情况之中，心意永远都不会得到满足。
And Arjuna has understood this.
Arjuna 已经明白到了这一点。
He knows that no matter what he gets materially, it's not going to satisfy.
他明白到，无论他在物质上得到什么，都不会让他满足的。
He needs to get instruction from a qualified person.
他应该从一位有资格的人那里得到训示。
And Srila Prabhupada explains who is a qualified person.
师罗帕帕就解释到，谁是一位有资格的人。
Kiba Vipra Kiba Nasi Sudra Kini Nai Ye Krishna Tattva Vet Se Guru Hai. It does not matter what is a person's social position. They have to know the science of Krishna.
无论一个人的社会地位是什么，只要他具有 Krishna 知觉的科学，他便可以成为一个真正的灵性导师。
So they have to know this Krishna Tattva, to know what is the science of Krishna.
他们必须要了解 Krishna Tattva, 也就是关于 Krishna 的科学。
Prabhupada gives scriptural evidence to prove that the birth is not important.
帕帕从经典上给出证明，说出生并不是重要的。
Someone may think, oh, you have to be a brahmana to be guru.
有的人可能认为，你要成为 guru 的话，必须是一位 brahmana。
Prabhupada quotes scripture that says, you may be born in a family of dog eaters.
但帕帕引用经典说，可能你出生在一个吃狗肉者的家庭。
But if you are a Vaishnava, you can become guru.
但如果你是一位 Vaishnava, 你就能成为 guru.
But if you're a brahmana and not devoted to Krishna, then you cannot become guru.
但如果你是一位 brahmana, 却不是 Krishna 的奉献者，那你就不能成为 guru.
So no matter what material facilities we have in this world, if there's no Krishna consciousness, if they're without Krishna consciousness, they will not satisfy the uncontrolled.
无论我们在这个物质世界里有什么样的便利条件，只要我们没有 Krishna 知觉的话，那我们这个不受控制的心意就永远不会得到满足。第九师节，桑加亚说：“说到这里，惩敌者 Arjuna 告诉 Krishna， Govinda 呀，我不会作战。”说完便沉默下来。
Krishna is described by the name Govinda.
在这里 Krishna 被描述为 Govinda.
So Govinda means one who is the master of the cows and also master of the senses.
Govinda 的意思是母牛的主人以及感官的主人。
So the idea is that Krishna should control the senses of Arjuna and give him the intelligence so that he should actually fight.
因此要点是 Krishna 应该控制住 Arjuna 的感官，给他智慧，这样他就可以去作战了。
Krishna is also the knower of the Vedas.
Krishna 也是伟大经的知悉者。
So Arjuna should understand this and know that fighting is his real duty.
Arjuna 应该了解到这一点，明白到作战是他真正的职责。
It is his dharma.
是他的 dharma.
And text 10.
第十节，巴拉塔的后裔呀。这时 Krishna 在两军之间笑着对忧伤满怀的 Arjuna 说了下面的话。
Krishna smiled.
Krishna 在微笑。
But Prabhupada explains that.The talks between the disciple and the spiritual master are serious.
但帕帕在这里提到呢，在灵性导师和门徒之间的谈话是非常严肃的。
Krishna is satisfied. He has seen the determination of Arjuna.
Krishna 很满意，他看到了 Arjuna 的决心。
He's ready. So Krishna is ready to give some instruction.
所以 Krishna 愿意给出一些训示。
Prabhupada says Krishna was smiling because he saw that his friend had now become his disciple.
帕帕说 ，Krishna 在微笑，是因为他看到他的朋友现在成了他的门徒。
So a very different relationship.
这是非常不同的关系。
Friends, they can laugh and joke together.
朋友们可以一起开怀大笑，一起开玩笑。
But the spiritual master talks between the disciple and the spiritual master are serious.
但在灵性导师和门徒之间的谈话却是严肃的。
Krishna is going to give very serious instruction to Arjuna.
Krishna 要给 Arjuna 一些非常严肃的训示了。
We have to take these instructions. Similarly, we have to understand also the relationship, our own self, with the spiritual master.
我们在接受这些训示的同时，也应该理解到我们自己和灵性导师之间的关系。
Sometimes it said, "Don't get too close and don't get too far away."
有的时候说呢，不要太近，也不要太远。
If you get too close to the spiritual master, then you will think of him as an ordinary person.
如果你离灵性导师太近，你就会认为他是一个普通人。
And if you get too far away, then you also will lose the benefit. You won't get the instruction.
如果你离灵性导师太远，你也得不到他的训示。
So we have to try to understand how to have developed this right relationship.
所以我们要理解到如何恰当地发展出这种正确的关系来。
Prabhupada would always have to deal very carefully with his different servants and assistants.
Prabhupada 一直都非常小心地跟他的不同的仆人和助手打交道。
Sometimes he would change them. He would send some would be with him for a while, then he'd send them away, and then somebody else.
Prabhupada 有时候就会换他的这些仆人和助手，一些人跟他待一段时间，然后他就把他们打发走，再换一些人来。
Because easy, too close.To the spiritual master and see them by mundane vision.
因为很容易的，如果你离灵性导师太近，就会用世俗的这种眼光来看灵性导师。
Are there any questions on this section before we give you some exercise?
那么在我给大家做练习之前，关于我们刚刚讲过的这一部分，有什么问题吗？
我们不应该先依靠别人，但是经典上说，妻子应该依靠她的丈夫。
We shouldn't depend on our husband.
You said we shouldn't be dependent on anyone, but usually this scripture is said we have to be dependent on our husband, and when we are old, we have to be dependent on our children. So there is some conflicts.
Did I say what was the explanation? I said we didn't have to depend on people.
I think you mentioned that a Brahmana shouldn't be dependent on others.
Oh. Tasha, the Tali is a Shijin.是 Brahmana 不靠别的人。
你说什么
？So she wants to know, in her situation, like there, so many young girls are not working and their husbands are working. Should they dependent? Should they become independently economically, or should they just can depend on their husbands?
Well, usually in the material world, the woman will depend on her husband.
通常在物质世界里，女人要依靠丈夫。
But if the husband is a Brahmana, you know, in the Vedic culture, the Brahmana, he doesn't work.
如果要是按照伟达的这种传统来说呢，丈夫如果是个 Brahmana, 他就不工作。
He won't take up service.
他不会接受服务的。
Because that's Sudra work.
因为那是 Sudra 的工作。
And Kshatriyas also, they won't take up service.
Kshatriya 也不会去服务别人。
This whole battle of Kurukshetra took place because the Pandavas were not given any land.
Kurukshetra 这场大战之所以发生，就是因为 Pandava 们没有得到任何去管理、去统治的土地。
So because they didn't have any land to govern, they had no alternative but to fight.
因为他们没有可以去管理的土地，所以他们没有其他的选择，只能作战。
They had asked Duryodhana, "You give us enough land, tiny piece of land, just one village."
他们问过杜优丹，你给我们足够的地方，哪怕是一个小小的村庄也行。
But he said, I will not give you enough land to go through an eye of a needle.
可是杜优丹跟他们说呢，我连立锥之地都不会给你们的。
So they had no land. So they were there in order to preserve their position as Kshatriyas, they had to fight.
他们没有土地，可是又为了保持他们作为 Kshatriya 的地位，他们不得不作战。
So the point is that if you work in a company, then if you take up a job in some company, you accept a salary from that company, then you're obliged to follow certain rules and standards which the company set.
那么如果你去一个公司里边受雇佣给那个公司干活，然后接受他们的薪水的话，你就要必须遵守这个公司里给你规定的这些条件，给你规定的这些标准。
You know, if you're the secretary for some manager in his office, you may be secretary for a manager in some office.
可能你是一个经理的秘书，在他办公室里的经理秘书。
So then the manager will tell his secretary, I don't want to see this person and don't let that person come and certain things you have to do.
经理可能会告诉这个秘书说那个人我不想见，不要让他来，就是有一些秘书不得不为他做的事情。
And if some people call up, they want to speak to him, you have to ask him, do you want to speak to this person?
如果有人打电话来说想跟经理谈话，那么你就得问这个经理，有人打电话了，你想跟这个人讲话吗？
So you have to be like their dog.
你就像他们的狗一样。
You know, you tell people, some people you bark, you tell them go away, no, he doesn't want to speak to you today.
那么有时候你就对人家吠叫，因为经理不想跟他讲话，你就要把他们给弄走，说他不今天很忙，不能跟你说话。
Become the servant of someone, you become like their dog.
这样呢，你成为别人的仆人，就像是他们的狗一样。
Just to keep people away.
就是为了把人家弄走的。
That's the position, that's sutra work.
那是 sutra 的工作。
Women usually have to serve their husbands.
女人通常要服务她们的丈夫。
In modern times, women are usually also working.
当然，现代的这个时代，女人也工作。
But if your husband doesn't mind you staying at home, then that's okay.
但如果你的丈夫没有让你去工作，让你在家的话，那也可以。
If your husband's happy to see you, just be Krishna conscious and practice Krishna consciousness at home, then you're very lucky.
如果你的丈夫允许你在家里边只要具有 Krishna 知觉就可以了，那么你是非常幸运的。
Yeah, you're depending on your husband, that's proper.
是的，你在依靠你的丈夫，那是恰当的。
But your husband has to depend on other people.
但你的丈夫却要依赖其他人。
Yeah. Now, of course, in China, there's much more businesses opening up and much more people are becoming Vaishya.
当然了，在中国现在人们越来越多的在做生意，越来越多的人成为 Vaishya。
So that's a little higher than being a sutra.
这比当 sutra 要高一点。
If you can be independent of other people.
你就可以独立于其他人。
Do some business on you. Some devotees, they just, you know, they buy something, paintings, and they will go and sell paintings.
你就可以自己做生意了。有的奉献者他们买一些画，然后呢，他们再卖掉这些画。
In this way, they can maintain themselves.
这样他们就可以维持自己的生活。
And they have more freedom of time.
而且他们在时间上有更大的自由。
Some people are doing work like teaching yoga.
有的人他的工作是教瑜伽。
You know, they can also do that independently as their own kind of business.
那么他们也可以把这个作为他们自己的独立的生意来做。
Some people are teachers. You may do teach in your home.
有的人是老师，你可以在自己的家里边。就是教别人。
Have some children come and you teach them their homework.
有一些学生来，你可以教他们，让他们做作业。
You have more independence.
那样你就会有更多的独立性。
And that's more kind of getting closer to Brahminical, although it's still material mundane, but it's more in the Brahminical line.
那么这就更接近于婆罗门的那种生活方式，尽管呢在这个世俗上还有物质的成分，就在物质上还有世俗成分，但仍然更接近于婆罗门的那种方式。
Because a Brahmana teacher.
因为一位 Brahmana 应该是一位老师。
Whatever we know, you should teach it to others.
无论我们知道什么，都应该把它教给别人。
One devotee got a job one time in a brick factory, and he told Prabhupada, "I've learned how to make bricks."
有一次，一个奉献者在一个制砖的工厂得到一份工作，他就跟帕帕说：“我知道了怎么做砖。”
So Prabhupada said, "Very good. Now you have to teach it to others."
帕帕说：“非常好，现在你要把。”